give him the praise today. Acts chapter 16 again this morning. Acts chapter 16. We've been studying through this book together. We've preached down through verse 15. And we come today to Acts chapter 16, verse 16. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching down from verse 16 down through verse 34. You'll notice in your bulletin there's an insert, and I like these kind of inserts. This insert are 13 new missionaries that we have just added to our missionary family through our Faith Promise Missions giving. And this is what I'm trying to do, God leading me in this direction, is we're trying with our monthly support to hit different parts of the world. In other words, different parts of the world that we do not currently support somebody there. And you'll notice these names, Dr. Keene, First Bible International, and how he locates different people groups around the world that does not have a Bible in their language, and he tries to give them their first Bible. That's a great ministry. This church plant in Arizona, in the Turks and Caicos Islands, Morocco, Botswana, the Republic of Georgia, Egypt, Ethiopia, Colombia, Guatemala, New Zealand, Nepal, and Australia. Can somebody say amen there, please? Your Faith Promise Mission Giving is now going to support these new missionaries as well. And listen, as long as it comes in, we can support them. And the more that comes in, we can bring on more. In other words, we reach here to reach there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We reach here, but it doesn't stop with here. We reach here to reach there. And I encourage you to make these a matter of prayer. They'll be a good thing. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. That's a great passage of Scripture, isn't it? And today I want to preach to you on this subject. When life doesn't seem fair. When life doesn't seem fair. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this time? Calm our hearts, speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done. May I be a clean vessel, Lord. May there be nothing in my heart and life to hinder you. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to be clean. And may you help this church and those who are visiting with us to do business with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, life is filled with things that seem to be unfair at first thought. I ask you this morning, has life ever seemed unfair to you? If your answer is yes, this is the situation that's going on in this passage of Scripture. Life at this moment for Paul and Silas, at first glance, when you look at it, it seems to be very unfair to them. But by the end of this story, we will see the Lord has come through again for his precious children, and they can look back and say, "Oh, now I get it." Several things I want to give you today, and I hope that you're ready to receive them. Number one, we're going to notice the report. Now, I've already read this passage, so I'm not going to read it again, but the report is found
in verses 16 down through verse number 24. Now, when you read those verses, you find a certain young lady who was possessed with a spirit was bringing her masters much gain by her soothsaying. This young lady followed Paul and the others doing the will of God, and she was saying that they were the servants of the living God and they were showing the way of salvation. Question, was that the truth? Yes, it was. So what's the problem here? Here's the problem. See, while what she said was true, others knew who she was. And they knew what and who she stood for. And even though evil people speak truth, their character can make suspect everything else they say. You understand what I'm saying to you? And once the wicked get in the door by the truth, their lies can spread like wildfire. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way: the devil's methods of opposition are those of alliance, being a friend, and antagonism. And the only serious one is the first one. Let's beware of it. The girl did this for many days. And the Bible teaches in verses 16 to 24 that Paul became grieved. And he became grieved to the point that he turned and he commanded the spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. That same hour, the spirit came out. All he was doing was the will of God, and all he was doing was delivering this girl from an evil, wicked, ungodly spirit. But when her master saw that they couldn't make any more gain of her because she had been healed, they caught Paul and Silas. They brought them to the marketplace and before the rulers, and they began to falsely accuse them. Now get this, after hearing these people, the multitude rose up against them. The magistrates tore their clothes off, and they commanded to beat them. Now after laying many stripes upon them, they cast them, this is found in verse 23, into the prison. Now that word cast, look it up. You know what it means? It means to throw something with no concern with where it lands. That's what it means. It's like throwing a bag of garbage. Get it away from me. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care where it lands. Just get it away from me. That's what this word cast means. When they cast Paul and Silas into the prison, they were throwing them away from them. They didn't care where they landed. And they charged the jailer to keep them safely. Upon hearing this, the jailer thrust them, the Bible, I'm using Bible words. He thrust them, that's the same word as the word cast. Just get them away from me, into the inner prison. That was maximum security of that day. And they placed their hands in stocks. These stocks were used as punishment and absolute security. Question, when you hear that report, here's a young girl being tormented by the devil, a wicked spirit. Paul delivers her. God changes her life, and they turn it against Paul and Silas, beat them, throw them like a bag of garbage, put them in maximum security, and put them in stocks for punishment. I ask you a question, does that seem fair to you? I mean, does that really seem like they would look at it and say, oh, I understand this? May I say this to you, friends? Life is full of situations like this. All they had done was deliver this poor girl from her tormentor. They were following God's guidance and doing the will of God. They were accused falsely. They were attacked quickly. And to our eyes, life did not seem fair to Paul and Silas. Question, have you ever been there? Are you there today? In a crowd this size, there's no question that somebody's going through something, and in your flesh, the only thing you can say is that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. You ever been there? Amen or not, friends? I'm telling you, I'm plowing on all of our rows. Life is full of unfair situations. And I'm preaching to you this morning on when life doesn't seem fair. I didn't say when life's not fair. I said when it doesn't seem fair. There's a big difference. Number one, the report. Number two, the response. How did they respond? You know, this is one of the most known stories in the Bible. And there's a danger with a story that's so well known. And that danger is you just think you already know everything about it, right? I got news for us. this word, only the surface has been scratched on it. What is God teaching us here? Not only the report, but the response. Verse number 25. It's midnight in that prison. Paul and Silas have been treated unfairly. They've been beaten, and they're sitting in maximum security cell with their backs beaten to a bloody pulp and their feet locked in stocks. Life doesn't seem fair to them at this time. And while their flesh was probably calling out for justice, what was Paul and Silas doing? How did they respond to this current situation in their life? Will they complain and call upon God to judge these people? God, now you see what they've done to me. Now you make sure they get what's coming to them. That's not how they responded. They are rather, verse 25, they are praying and they are singing praises to God. Now think about it. Think about it. Those other prisoners who no doubt were used to hearing blasphemies coming from other cells heard something different this particular night coming from the maximum security cell. They heard a sacred concert taking place. Now let's go back in time and pretend that we're sitting in that prison as they bring these two men in who have been beaten to a bloody pulp. They're throwing them around like a bag of garbage. They cast them into the inner prison, the maximum security, for just doing the will of God. Don't you think these prisoners are like, what in the world did those two guys do? Now maybe Paul's testimony preceded him and maybe they knew it, but here's the point. No doubt this right here, what has happened to them, is not fair. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. There's no telling what will be coming out of their mouths. How are they going to be cursing tonight? What's going to be coming from that cell? But at midnight, instead of hearing the normal, they heard something interesting. They heard those men praying and singing the praises of God. Now, folks, it's interesting to note how the Bible says the prisoners heard them. You know what that means? That means they were loud enough to be heard. That's what it means. Isn't that deep teaching right there, friends? I mean, the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. That means they were praying and singing loud enough to be heard. I'm telling you here, this goes to show us here that they were not ashamed of their God even when life didn't make sense to them. They were not ashamed of Him. Even when life seemed unfair, Paul and Silas lived for a greater purpose than their own comfort. Here they are in pain, but still praising God. See, external things cannot take our peace away, and it should not take our prayers and praise away either. Amen. It can't take our peace. Pain can't take peace from you, but too many times pain takes prayers from us and it takes praise from us. But we learn here that even when life doesn't seem fair and your body's racked with pain and life really is not fair, you can still pray and you can still praise God. This is what we see from Paul. This is what we see from Silas. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Psalm 42:8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Job 35:10, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you, and in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, "Any fool can sing in the day. It's easy to sing when we can read the notes by daylight. But the skillful singer is he who can sing when there's not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of men." We sung a great song today. "It is well with my soul." Maybe you've heard the story. Having lost in a fire virtually everything they owned, the Spafford family made new plans involving a move from Chicago to France. Horatio Spafford planned the trip for his wife and four daughters to be as trouble-free as possible. To transport them from America to France, he booked passage on a huge ship and made sure they had Christians with whom to fellowship en route. He planned to join them in a few weeks later. In spite of much careful preparation, Mr. Spafford's plan suddenly dissolved when the ship carrying his loved ones was rammed by another vessel and sank, carrying his four daughters to the bottom of the ocean. His wife arrived in Wales safely 9 days later, and she'd telegraphed back to her husband all the way across here and gave him the news that she was saved alone. Saved alone. That all four of their children had drowned. Spafford left Chicago to go and bring his wife home. And as they crossed the Atlantic, the captain came and told him when they were passing over the spot where the ship had gone down and his daughters had died. The story I've got here says Horatio Spafford at that place took a pen and paper and wrote the words while passing over the spot where his daughters perished, when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You know, we can't help what happens to us many times, but we can help how we respond to it. During World War II, Dr. Viktor Frankl was imprisoned by the Nazis because he was a Jew. His wife, children, and parents were all killed in the Holocaust. At one point, the prison guards cut his wedding band off his finger. So they've killed his wife, they've killed his children, they've killed his parents. Now they've cut the wedding band off of his finger. And here's what he said to himself, and I quote, "You can take away my wife and children. You can strip me of my clothes and freedom. But there's one thing no person can ever take away from me, and that is my freedom to choose how I will react to what happens to me," end quote. God help us when we get a hangnail and we think we're suffering for Jesus. God help us when our pew's not exactly the way it ought to be. It's a little bit uncomfortable and we start complaining. I'm not saying that I've heard this. I'm just giving you illustrations. Let me ask you a question. How have you been responding to the trials in your life? Only God knows how many trials people are going through here today. Only God knows. And may I say this to you? Maybe only God knows as well how people respond to those trials too. It's convicting, isn't it? Oh, life is so terrible on me. By the way, it's always terrible when I'm going through it. It's minor when it's you. It's major when it's me. Amen? And God looks at us sometimes and puts us in the prisons of life. Sometimes He puts us in prison just to see how we're going to respond. This is number two. Not only do we see the report, number two, the response. Number three, here's the message. Here we go now. I know that's two out of 3 points, but that's really my introduction, all right? Here's point number three, several things under it. What's the result? The report, not fair. The response, they're just praying and praising God, praying to God and praising Him through it. Now, what's the result? This is found in the latter part of verse 25 down through verse number 34. These dear men of God have been mistreated. Life doesn't seem fair to them right now. But instead of getting bitter against God or these men who mistreated them, they have turned their prison into a house of prayer and praise. In other words, when they responded right, when they responded godly, there were some wonderful things that took place. Let me give you these results. I don't want you thinking about anybody but yourself. Look here, please. If you don't need this message today, if God gives you enough life, you will need it. Life's not always going to be good, friends. Sometimes life throws a curveball, does it not? Sometimes things happen, it's like, what is going on? I mean, I'll just tell you one thing. That's just not fair. When that happens, if you respond right, let me give you several things straight through this passage right here. Number one, letter A. Here we go. First result, the prisoners heard. Look at verse number 25, the latter part of it. You know, the word heard here carries the idea of listening intently. In other words, it wasn't like they said, "What is that noise?" No. The word heard here means, shh, trying to hear this. You see the difference? There was something going on in that prison that night that those other prisoners were not used to. Their response to life not being fair to them caught the attention of others around them. You know, this goes to show that there were others listening at this time. You know, in the same way, we need to understand that when seemingly unfair things happen to us, there are others who are watching and they are listening for our response. The world is watching Christians. And by the way, may I remind you, these are lost people listening right here. One of them's the jailer. He's in that same place, friends. He's lost. And when people see Christians shaken by circumstances as they themselves are, in other words, as a lost person, well, Christians are just as shaken as we are. They conclude that after all, there's very little to Christianity. But when they find Christians rising above circumstances and glorying in the Lord, even in the deepest trial, then even the unsaved realize the Christian has something in knowing Christ to which they do not know anything about. Number one result, the prisoners heard. Number two, there was a great earthquake. Verse number 26. You know, in response to Paul and Silas' response to their trial, the Lord God of heaven sent a great earthquake to shake the foundations of that prison. One man put it this way, Paul and Silas singing in that cell were more than the stone and mortar could take. I like this statement. The walls and foundation of that prison thought the millennium had come. They clapped their hands, stomped their feet, and roared out their joy in an earthquake. You know, it was a mighty moving of God. A shaking. A mighty moving of God brought about these two servants of His that were just praising Him in their prison. Oliver Green said it this way, God's men can be locked in, but God cannot be locked out. Amen. You know, this world needs to see a mighty shaking of God. Amen or not? I mean, does our nation not need to see a mighty shaking of God? I'm talking about a spiritual earthquake sent by God that just shakes the foundations. This world needs to see a shaking that can only come from God. May I say to you that we learn from this passage that one way God sends earthquakes and a mighty moving and a shaking to this world is when His children who are treated unfair and they're sitting in a prison that's not fair responds right to Him. They don't get it. They don't understand. They didn't choose that for their own life. But in the middle of it, I don't know what they were singing. I don't even know what they were praying. But whatever they sung or whatever they prayed, God just said, I'm going to shake that place. I'm telling you, we need God to look at us and say, I want to shake that place for my glory. And one way He does it is when He sees His children responding right to trials. I like what Harry Ironside said. He said, and I quote, I have an idea if there were more joy in tribulation, more triumphing in trouble in our day, we would see more shaking by the power of God. Number one result, the prisoners heard. That means they were listening. Number two, there was a great earthquake. God shook that place. And we need the power of God to respond right to trials. Number three, they were set free in the prison. Don't miss what I just said. They were still in it, but God set them free in it. Look at verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What's the point here? This earthquake sent by the mighty hand of God shook the foundations of the prison, and immediately all the prison doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. You know what that tells me? This means that they were set free. The interesting thing to note is how they did not leave the prison. They were still in that prison. But God had set them free in the midst of it. Anybody understand what I'm trying to get across here? Another biblical example of this would be the three Hebrew children. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And they couldn't get out of it. So God just set them free in it. Took them out later, but not at first. He still let them be in the fire a while. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not preaching today that if you just respond right, God's going to get you out of prison. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching that. Because I don't know if God's going to let you stay in that prison until the trumpet sounds. Or I don't know if it's temporary or permanent, talking about on this earth, prison. I don't know what kind of a prison you're in. I'm not preaching that you respond right and he'll get you out of prison. I'm not preaching that. But I am preaching this. I don't care what kind of a prison it is, whether it's temporary or permanent on this earth, God has power that even if you're in prison, he can set you free in the middle of it. Amen. He can set you free right in the middle of your prison experience. Sometimes this life throws at us trials that do not seem fair. Many times there's no way to escape. You can't get out of it. But God can come and set you free in the middle of it. Somebody put it this way. Faith in the prison of life may change your circumstances. More often, it will change you in your circumstances. That's a great statement. Number one result, we've looked at the report. All they did was deliver this poor girl from a wicked, ungodly spirit. They deliver her, and they take them because that was their way of getting some, padding their pockets with money. And when they lost that, they turned their rage against Paul and Silas, strip them down, start falsely accusing them, beating the daylights out of them, treating them like a bag of garbage, throwing them in there, putting them in the maximum security cell. They put stocks on their feet. There they are. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. What are we going to hear from them tonight? At midnight, they're praying and singing so loud that the other prisoners hear. And God sends an earthquake, and he delivers them inside the prison. Then we see a fourth and final thing. And that is, the fourth result is a family got saved. We see this in verses 27 to 34. The fourth result of their response to their seeming unfair situation is mighty. The jailer who was in charge of that jail woke up and he saw the prison doors open. He automatically thought, wouldn't you? Everybody's escaped. If you're that jailer back in that day, do you honestly think that you see the prison doors open and say, well, nothing, they're all still in their jail cells? No. He thought everybody's gone. So he drew his sword and he's getting ready to kill himself. Read it, 27 to 34. He's getting ready to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners were gone and he knew that that was under his watch, his control, and that his leader would kill him for letting the prisoners escape. But through the darkness, Paul cries out. And he said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wow. You know, as a side note, before I get back to this thought, as a side note, a hard-hearted man seeking revenge would just let the jailer kill himself. You with me? After all, that's that man that threw me in here like a bag of garbage. He's getting ready to kill himself. Good. Silas, shh, let's watch this. Not Paul. This jailer came in, the Bible says, trembling. Shaking. Trembling. And he fell down before Paul and Silas and he said, sirs, by the way, look it up. When he said, sirs, that was a sign of great respect to those who he had once thrown into the prison like a piece of garbage. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew these men could show him the way. Paul and Silas told him the truth by telling him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave him the right answer. That night they spoke the word of God to him and to all of his house, the Bible says. All of his house. And this man, along with all of his house, was saved. We know this because the Bible teaches us this. And he took them and washed their stripes. There's a change in his life here. You see what I'm saying? We see evidence of the change that had taken place in his heart by believing on the Lord. He followed the Lord in believers' baptism. He began to wash them. You know, there's something heartwarming about the sight of this tough jailer, this rough, tough jailer, gently ministering to these prisoners. May I say it this way? Salvation had made this crooked man straight. Look here, please. It always does. You say, oh, I tell you, I prayed a prayer, but I tell you one thing, I'm just going to live any way I want to live. Then you listen, you didn't get what I got. Amen. Because true Bible salvation changes your life. Always has and always will. Now get this. Here we have a man going from suicide to salvation. That's what's happening. He's going from suicide to salvation, all because God worked in a prison where his children responded right to a trial that just didn't seem fair to them. You know, God loves sinners. Do you know that? By the way, you better be glad, because that's what we are. Amen. He loves sinners and he wants them saved. Look here, please. I'm not trying to put God in a box, okay? You can't do it. Not a box big enough, okay? I'm not trying to put him in a box, but I am going to teach you this. Sometimes he can allow his children. I didn't say it's his will, but he can allow his children to come into unfair prison cells. It could be a prison cell of health, finances, trouble, sickness, whatever. There's all kinds of prisons. Sometimes God allows his children to be put into a prison that to us seems unfair, just to give that child of God an audience, to lead somebody else going through the same thing to Jesus Christ. Amen. One ministry I think of in this local church, there's many of them, that one that I just think of immediately right here is the cancer ministry. We have a cancer ministry here. And those who go into the hospitals, my understanding of this, are those who have had cancer. God has delivered them. They go into the hospital and they're going door to door just trying to help people with cancer. Why do we send people who have had cancer in to help others who have cancer? Why? Is it not obvious? It's because I can look at them, and I hope this never changes. I'll be honest, I hope it never changes. But I can't look at somebody with cancer and say, I understand. I can't do that. There may come a day in my life when I can. I hope not. But I can't right now. But somebody who's had it can go into that room and say, I've had this. I understand how you feel. I know what you're going through. Let me tell you what's helped me. It's not the medicine. It's not this. Thank God for it. It's because I know Jesus. And he gave me peace in the middle of my storm. It's the same principle I'm trying to get across here. That God let these two men go into this prison. Could it be that God allowed this to happen because he knew how they would respond? And because they responded right at the end of it, not in the first, not in the middle, but at the end. When everything's over and they look back, Paul and Silas, think with me now, when everything's over, now in the middle of it, it's like, what's going on? All we're doing is heaven. I mean, they're stripping over their clothes, beating them, throwing them in a jail. At first it's like, what's going on? This is not fair. This is not fair. But because they responded right in it, and God worked in such a marvelous way, and now this family saved. On the other side of the trial, on the other side of the prison, they look back, Paul and Silas, and their body's still beaten. There's still marks from it. But they look back and they see that jailer who saved, and that wife, and that child, and they say, oh, now I get it. Isn't it great when you look back and say, oh, now I get it? That's where some of you are right now. You're right in the middle of it. You're at the first of it. You're right in the middle of it, and you can't see it yet. I'm telling you, God is doing something. Respond right and let others hear it, and the earthquake come. God move in and see God do what he can do. Paul and Silas was in a situation where life did not seem fair. But they turned to prayer and they turned to praise. God did a mighty work that night. God's work can progress through difficult challenges. You know, Paul spoke about this time. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, here's what he said. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. 1 Peter 1:7 and 8, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. A Christian writer said this, and I quote, "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I've learned in my 75 years in the world," he was 75 years old, he said, "everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness. Nobody wants it. I don't want it. Pastor, I don't want it." How many, I'm thinking of our dear Moses today. Preacher Lashley. I've heard him say even recently, I'm paraphrasing, when he went through cancer and he was praying for revival and God gave him a personal revival through that time, "I guarantee you he would not change that for anything on planet Earth." May I say this to you? I'm about done. You know that means nothing, right? You're getting used to that, though. I'm 40 years old, can't hardly... 40. I'm not stuttering. I'm doing this for emphasis. 40, you know what I mean? And I can honestly tell you today, I mean this, that some of the greatest times in my ministry have been the times that were the worst while I was going through it. The sickness of Jesse. My wife, when she thought that something was wrong with her. Jalen, when they thought something was wrong with her head. When my wife lost a baby. And I was in St. Louis, 11 hours drive from her, and I couldn't get to her. Those are times that I do not want to go back and re-experience, but I would not trade them for anything on earth. Because it's during times in the valley when God really works in our heart and life. So if you're going through a valley, Bible language for this chapter, if you're sitting in a prison, what I mean is a valley experience, trouble, trial, especially if it doesn't seem fair, don't you fight against God. Don't you complain and murmur and gripe. That's all flesh. Realize that in your prison, God can set you free. And realize in your prison that there's going to be other people watching you and listening to how you respond. And realize that if you respond right, God can shake your world in a good way. And ultimately understand this, in your prison, look around, because that prison is not an isolated prison. You understand? It doesn't matter what you're going through, somebody else is going through it, if not worse. You with me? You say, "Nobody knows what I'm going through." You're fooling yourself. There are no isolated prisons. The prison you're sitting in, somebody else is sitting in another prison, if not that same prison. And could it be that God allowed you to be put in that prison because he loves that soul, that without your witness, they will die and go to hell? But if you respond right and give them the gospel, they might come to you trembling and saying, "Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I can't handle this. I see something different about you." What's different about you? And you say, "His name is Jesus." Do you get this message? This is something we need to learn. I've not arrived. Have you? So let's beg God to help us when life doesn't seem fair to respond like Paul and Silas. And then leave the results to God. And he can do something great in our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless this? Challenge us from your word. Thank you for the power of it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Today I'm talking to somebody that needs this message. I'm talking to somebody that right now you are sitting in a spiritual prison. It might be a prison of health. It might be a prison of finances. It might be a prison of doubt. It might be a prison of just questioning. It might be a family problem. It might be something. Prisons come in so many different sizes and shapes. Today, God wants to tell you that if you are His child, you don't have to respond in a natural, fleshly way. You can respond in a way that causes God's mighty hand to move. Even if He doesn't deliver you out of the prison, He wants to set you free in the prison. You get it? You understand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They begin to play through softly. I wonder today, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? Do you have somebody to praise even in the prisons of life? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, in just a moment when we extend the invitation, I want to invite you to come. You come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you, point you to Jesus, who gives you peace even in the midst of prisons. And then, Christian, I want to ask you a question. Something going on in your life and you say it's just not fair. It doesn't mean that that's how you're responding, but humanly speaking, if your flesh answered, you would have to answer this way: it's just not fair. Have you know of a situation like that right now in your own life? You say it's just not fair. Your flesh is saying it's not fair. It's not fair. Why me? It's just not fair. Have you have something like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Say, boy, I've got something like that going on. Yes. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Let me ask it another way. Because not everybody who's in a prison, their flesh is saying it's unfair. But how many of you today say, Jody, it's not necessarily that it's unfair, but it is a prison. I am sitting in a prison. You understand? It could be an emotional prison. It could be a spiritual prison, a physical prison. Somehow, some way, life has hit you in such a way that you are sitting in a prison cell, spiritually speaking. There's trouble. Have you going through something like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Be honest about this. Yes. Several of you. Several of you. My message today, well, actually, I hope it's not mine. It's the Lord's message through me. Is all in how you respond. Your flesh is going to cry out, not fair, not fair, not fair, fight, fight, fight. But the Holy Spirit of God says, I know it may not make sense, but you need to trust me. Because if you respond right, you can be used of God in a mighty way. This is it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you're here today but you've never trusted Christ, come. Let us take a Bible and help you. If you're here today and you just want to come forward because God has spoken to you in this message, come forward. Maybe you're here today and you've not been responding right and God's convicted you. Maybe you have been responding right and God's encouraged you. Just keep on responding. Keep on praying. Keep on praising me. Trust me to send an earthquake and set you free in that prison. Father, would you take it? Help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If God is speaking to you, would you come right now? Would you come, please? Come on. Come on now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, Watch me and hear me, Savior divine.
You can look this way, folks. We've had two come today who want to join our church. When somebody comes to our church here and they want to join, they're letting us know that they've trusted Christ and Christ alone. They have been baptized by immersion, a church of like faith, and they have read the bylaws, agree to them, and all of that. So all of this is in order. This is a blessing here. I'm going to have Carl Bond, if you wouldn't mind, to stand. What a blessing this is. This is Mrs. Radford's father. And he's been coming for a while, and he believes the Lord wants him to join us here. And he's coming today from a transfer of letter from the Emmanuel Baptist Church just in Boone's Creek. And we're honored to have you with us and glad that you're here. If you're happy about this, say amen. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept Mr. Bond into the membership of our church by a transfer of letter? Brother Scott Martin. Yes, Brother Earl Bridgman. I saw a hand and had to look and see who that was. All members in favor of this, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed? Same sign. So Carrie, very good. And then Jason Tigner, if Jason will stand. We're just really glad to have his wife here with us. We are glad to have you, but glad to have both of you here. What a precious couple this is, and we thank the Lord for them. And he wants to join our church by statement today. He's been saved. He's been scripturally baptized. He's read the bylaws, agrees to them. And we're honored to have young families like this coming to the church. And we're thrilled about it. So what's the pleasure of the church that we accept Jason by statement? Brother Larry Stover, Brother Steve Mullins, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed? Same sign. So carry. And first item of business, as you well know, is... a pie? That's close. I'll take that. Donuts. There's no doubt about it. Donuts. Very good. If you folks will stay there, I'm sure our folks want to come by and greet you. Remind you about the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Also, you should be receiving a flyer for the Christmas program. I want you to get that and invite somebody to come on the weekend of the 16th and 17th. There are others available if you'd like to take more than that. But the ushers should be at the door, I think. Brother Joe, if you'll check on that for me, if the ushers will be at the door with those flyers, passing those out, that'll be good. Service tonight at 6:30, be right in your place, okay? Let me have Brother Ron Smith, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray today, please.